did. Okay. Check one. I grabbed the wrong stuff. It happens. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to welcome the Enterprise Town Advisory Board for February 11th, 2026. First order of business, would you please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, let the roll call show that Kayshaw has been excused. All other board members are here. Tiffany is here from Commissioner Knapp's office. Romeo is here from Comprehensive Planning. Matt. Got a few notes on tonight's meeting. Items on the agenda may be taken out of order. The board may combine two or more agenda items for consideration. The board may remove any item from the agenda or delay discussion relating to an item at any time. No action may be taken in any matter not listed on the posted agenda. Public responses to the applicant's presentation will be limited to 3 minutes. All planning and zoning matters heard at this meeting are forwarded to the Board of County Commissioners, Zoning Commission, BCC, or to the Clark County Planning Commission, PC, for final action. Please turn off or mute all phones and other electronic devices. Please take all private conversations outside the room if you wish to continue the conversation after the board has made its recommendation. There. That brings us down to the first public comment period. This period is devoted to comments by the general public about items on this agenda. No discussion, action, or vote may be taken on this agenda item. You'll be afforded the opportunity to speak on individual public hearing items at the time they are presented. If you wish to speak to the board about items within its jurisdiction but not appearing on an agenda, you must wait until comments by the general public period listed at the end of this agenda. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Please step up to the speaker's podium, clearly state your name, address, and please spell your last name for the record. If any member of the board wishes to extend the length of the presentation, this will be done by the chair or the board by majority vote. So are there any overall public comments tonight? Hearing none, seeing none, I'll close the public comments. Next item is approval of the minutes for January 28th. 2026, and I've got no additions, corrections, or deletions. Tiffany, anything? Board members? Carmen? I'll make a motion that we approve the minutes of the Enterprise Town Advisory Board for January 28th, 2026, as published. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Next item on the is the approval of the agenda for 11 February 2026 for holds, combine or delete any items for possible action. And I've got no related applications or withdrawals at this point. So, Romy, do you have anything? Thank you. I'll make a motion to approve the Enterprise Town Advisory Board agenda for February 11, 2026, as published. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Motion carries. Informational items are next. I've got one informational item. Commissioner Knapp and Commissioner Jones present Valentine's Day Park Cleanup on Saturday, February 14th, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m., Nevada Trails Park, 7075 West Mardone Avenue. Tiff, do you have anything else? Carmen?
No.
Board members? That brings us down to planning and zoning, and the first item is VS 260014, vacate and abandon easements of interest to Clark County, located between Dean Martin Drive and Las Vegas Boulevard South and Cactus Avenue and Erie Avenue, alignment within Enterprise. Description and file for possible action. Good evening.
Good evening, Chair and members of the town board. Let me turn this on first. Good evening, Chair and members of the town board. Brooke Holmes with Brownstein, 100 North City Parkway, Suite 1600. Appearing on behalf of the applicant, SC Cactus LLC. The application before you tonight is for a vacation abandonment of an existing easement. You'll see it right here in purple. It'll be relocated where it's proposed in the blue, and it's closer to the I-15 for frontage road. It also closely aligns with the easements to the south on the property to the south and the right way to the north. Staff is recommending approval. Without it, we have to answer any questions that you guys have.
Now, open item number one up for public comment. Any public comment on item number one? Hearing none, seeing none, I'll close public comment. Board members?
Makes sense.
Okay. I'll make a motion on item number one, VS 260014, for approval per staff conditions. Any comments? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you very much.
Item number two is ET 2640001 ZC 230745, which is use permits for first extension time for the following one: mini warehouse, two convenience store, gasoline station, and vehicle wash. Waivers development standards for the following: one, building height; two, off-site improvements; three, non-standard improvements in the right-of-way; four, eliminate sidewalk and alternate landscaping; allow modified driveway design standards and allow modified street standards; design review for the following: mini warehouse, two, convenience store; three, gasoline station; four, vehicle wash; and five, finished grade on 1.53 acres in a CG general commercial zone today, located on the east of Las Vegas Boulevard South and south of Erie Avenue within Enterprise, for possible action. Good evening.
Good evening.
And all we need is why the extension of time.
Oh.
All the rest has already been decided by the board.
Oh. Right. Lucy Stewart, 1930 Village Center Circle, representing the applicant. And this was approved in December of 2023 for everything as you described. They submitted for building permits. They were just afraid they might be a little bit close on the timing. The zoning was made permanent. It's C1 zoning. And they were right. They were given 2 years for the design review and the waivers. They're in for permits. They're ready for the permits to be issued. And actually, they filed for the bond this week. And once the bond's approved, they're ready to pull their permits. But had they waited, they would have expired. So that's why we needed an extra month and a half.
Okay. I'll open item number two up for public comment at this time. Any public comments on item number two? Hearing none, seeing none, I'll close the... No, come on.
You're good.
You're good.
Anyway, my name is Kay Taylor. I live at 52 East Sedol.
Could you get the mic a little closer, please? Thank you.
My name is Kay Taylor. I live at 52 East Sedol. Taylor, T-A-Y-L-O-R. And I just have some questions about, since I live practically next to this, on Giles Street, as you see up there. My question is, will this include that street being totally closed off? from Erie down to Sedal. It's not really a street now, it's just called one.
Yeah. The only thing we have in front of us tonight is just the extension of time. All the other details have already been cited by one of the boards above us. And so they're coming in.
Was there any public hearing about that?
Yes, there was, three in 2023, I believe. Yeah.
Okay.
If you have other questions,
okay.
The applicant's representative, I suggest that you talk to her when we're done here, and I suspect she's got a lot of information.
Okay.
Okay. Any additional comments?
Yes, my name is Rod Culver, 56 Sidell. Are you saying that, we oppose this? Are you saying there's nothing that we can say about it now? Is that what you're telling us?
The specifics of the project were decided either by the Planning Commission or the Board of County Commissioners in 2023. What they are asking on this application is to extend their permits for another period of time so they can complete the project.
So what do we do to oppose that?
You can oppose the extension.
What's that?
You can oppose the extension. That's the only thing we can consider tonight because what's on the agenda.
So all of this has already been approved?
Yes, by a board above us.
Yeah, I'm not getting on you. I'm just asking.
I know,
what do we do
but just so you understand where we're coming from on this particular item.
So there's nothing we're going to say tonight to change this. Is that what you're basically
the,
saying?
The basic work of the project, no.
Okay, well, I guess I have a question.
But again, talk to the applicant's representative when they're done, because that's the best way you can get information into the project. Okay. Any additional comments this time?
One. Dan Goodrich, 123 Shaded Up Avenue. I'm at Barrington Estates. I just want to bring it to your attention that this notification that I received came in on Monday, 2 days ago. So we're talking about a 48-hour notice of what's going on here. Do you consider that sufficient time for this kind of response?
I think Romeo is the one who can answer that because they're the folks that send it out.
Typically, by law, we're supposed to send it.
So Nevada state law requires 10 days notice prior to the final decision-making board. This will not go to that final decision-making board until March 4th, so it meets the legal requirement. The town board is a recommending body. They don't make any binding decisions, so it usually gets just a couple of days before this recommending body.
So
it meets the time for the final decision-making body.
So on future occasions, I can expect a short notice like this?
For town board, but it's 3 weeks out before it goes to final hearing at the county.
All right.
And yes, this is pretty typical that it's just a few days before this. If we send it much earlier, people trash it before the Board of County Commission meeting.
Okay, any additional comments? Hearing none, seeing none, I'll close the comments. Board members?
Can I just make a comment?
Yes.
Do want to point out, when we did come do the original hearing, we made quite a few changes on this plan, and we had quite a few neighborhood meetings, and as an assessor can attest to, there were a significant number of people at those meetings. And we had originally shown actually residential in the back part. We showed apartments, and the neighbors said, no, we don't want that. Then we came back to residential, and then we came back, and they said, no, we'd rather have commercial. And so we kind of came with the most benign commercial of any warehouse project. So, but there were quite a few neighborhood meetings with quite a few people there.
Okay, board members? Okay.
Yeah, I don't see any reason to not to approve the first extension of time. And, that's all I can really talk about right now.
Want to take it?
Sure. I'll make a motion on item number two, ET 2640001 for approval per staff condition.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you very much.
Next item is item number three, ET 2640002, NZC 091417, zone change, fourth extension of time to reclassify 1.3 acres from an H2 general highway frontage zone to CR commercial resort zone, use permit for proposed residential condominium development, waiver development standards of following: one, reduce setbacks; two, allow non-standard driveways per Clark County improvement standards. Design review for the following proposed residential condominium development: two, finished grade, generally located on the west side of Ensworth Street and south of Ford Alignment within Enterprise. Four, possible action. Good evening.
Good evening. Marissa Berman, 1980 Festival Plaza Drive, here tonight on behalf of the applicant. We are here on 1.3 acres just south of Ford Avenue and west of Ensworth. This relates to proposed condominiums. As you may recall, this is part of a phased project called Paragon Lofts. This is the site here in yellow. We have phase one directly to the north. It's already occupied with tenants. Phase two is here and is outlined in red. It's currently under construction. And what you see here is what is phase three. We are here requesting a fourth extension of time for a zone change, use permit, and design review. It's been quite some time since the original approval. However, development was stalled based on the phasing of the overall project. Essentially, the applicant needed phase two to be under construction before they could move forward with phase three. So that's kind of where we are right now. We've made considerable progress. To be specific, Public Works approved the off-site bond. Traffic and drainage studies have been approved. Since the time of submitting this application, there's also been some additional updates. We have received signatures from Fire and Water Rec. The Water District is waiting on a few more documents, and their final review is slated for this week, and if not, early next week. This EOT is one of the last hurdles for the final map. It was resubmitted yesterday back to the map team, and the last update I received from my engineers, they were waiting to hear whether the NOFA for this EOT, if it was to be approved, would be the last thing that they needed in order to start the final review, or if they could accept the map as is. So that's kind of where we are, but it has been resubmitted as of yesterday afternoon. So based on all of those things I just rattled off, there has been significant progress. I recognize staff is recommending denial, but we are close. worth noting, the if approved conditions gives us until January of 2028. We are only requesting 1 year. 1 year is more than enough time. We are, you know, almost to the finish line here. As you can see, it's a unique site on both sides in location. We're surrounded by multifamily to the east and south, and we're abutting the other phases of this project, so it makes sense here. We recognize there have been some delays, but we are close. With that, I'm happy to answer any questions you may have. Thank you.
Okay. I'll open item number three up for comments. Any public comments on item number three? Hearing none, seeing none, I'll close the public comments. Board members?
So all the signups you mentioned, they're all related to the same thing, related to sidewalks and street improvement. None of it sounds like it's related to the project itself. It's all the off-site improvements.
We're at the final map stage where we can submit the final map.
I understand, but the justification you're providing to us for being able to sign off all of these, to that there's progress, is all related to only the off-site improvements. It's not related to the project. The public works sign off for the bond, the approved to go to Mylar, the water rec, the fire, those are all parts of the signing off the off-site improvements. This is not, is there any progress on the actual project? Is there building permits? Is there anything else other than that on the actual project?
Permits have not been issued, but they're in the works.
Are they submitted? Are the plans submitted for permit?
I believe they are submitted, but nothing's been issued.
Is there a reason why building permits aren't part of the justification letter, though? Or are you not entirely sure that they're submitted? It's okay if you're not entirely sure.
I will roll back and say, just because I don't know, I know 100% sure they're not issued.
Yes.
Whether they're submitted, I will retract that statement, just for the sake of accuracy. But,
appreciate that.
In terms of what I do know for sure are all those things that I listed earlier.
Yeah, normally in a fourth extension, we just say no. But also, if we say that, then the project's going to be redesigned with the current standards, which pushes it further back.
Sure, yes.
Now, phases one and two are complete?
One is complete, two is under construction.
Okay.
It's a difficult infill site.
Yeah, that was my next comment.
It is a difficult infill
yeah,
site. I drove
because
by.
The I know that on phase one and two, there had to be a lot of work done in order to get the condos in there. So I'm a bit torn because I can see reasons for continuing, because then that a difficult infill site would get filled in with something that is very similar to what is just to the north of it. But not wanting to really set a precedent for a fourth extension of time. So, you know, that's, I'm kind of weighing the two.
Understood.
Board members, any?
Yeah, as far as our recommendation, I would lean towards not approving the extension of time.
Because we have to work with the application in front of us, is there any way we can do a condition of approval that shortens the time period?
Yes.
That we're looking at there? To show additional progress within a time period?
You could do the extension of time for a 1 year period, 6 year period, 1 month. Can be a recommendation
going. I
think
the thing to note,
yeah,
though, is that it currently has a complete condition as opposed,
yeah,
to a commence condition. So you would,
yeah,
probably need to change the condition.
Because I don't see him completing this within a year.
No.
But I mean, the reason for it, the complete condition in the original application looks like it was because of it being tied to a resolution of intent, because this was under a non-conforming zone change. The intent back then was to lock in these things, and this has been granted three other extensions of time.
Okay, Mike, looking at the title of this, phases two and three. Two is under construction. So if this is turned down, is that KO2 also? The way it's titled?
Not unless the APN numbers are not listed, right? Because the only APN number is listed is the one you're talking about.
Yeah, the applicant's name.
Yeah, I want to make sure, because of the way the title is, that we're not...
Yeah, that APN comes up on Gizmo at just that site.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, this one is, I'm not sure what the status is or if it's met the legal definition of complete on the other one, but this is applying to just this one parcel.
Okay.
As I read it, I'm inclined to actually vote for the extension, but it does, I mean, 8 years. And then given what Berenson brought up too, that makes it tough to want to then vote for the extension.
Yeah. I also think that if this goes down, finding someone to come in and develop this 1.3 acres is going to be difficult, if not impossible.
I agree with that.
Yeah, you know, that's, and given it's right along the freeway, I-15, I think given that, I would vote for the extension.
Mr. Chair, can we look at an extension that adds a constraint that commencement must happen within a year? Because if they get into commencement, they stop and start and delay, there are other regulations in process.
Well, what you would have to do is recommend denial of that bullet and then put another bullet in, changing it for a date for commenced by.
I don't know that you would have to do it that way. I've not seen one with both a commence and complete date, but you could perhaps make that recommendation and we can see what goes with it, like setting a shorter commence date and keeping the complete date, and then maybe that shows progress. I've not seen one like that, but we could certainly ask the DA if that's something that
It wouldn't be the first time this board has come up with something unique for the staff.
I know, and I can't believe I'm encouraging it. I'm going to just stop talking.
I would take a shot at it, Mr. Chair, to...
Okay, go ahead.
Let me ask beforehand, Romeo, if you could help me make sure I'm clear. What would constitute commencement?
By the issuance of a building permit. And so I think the question you guys had was the permit has been in the process.
Okay, because I see that there's, I mean, it looks like they're using the lot currently for stockpiling dirt. I see there's activity, but it looks like it's supporting activity for other areas.
Yes.
The lot's still flat, but it's got a bunch of piles of dirt in it.
That is true, but unfortunately,
but that doesn't mean commencement.
It's not that, related to the site.
Yeah, no, I agree. It doesn't look like...
And to be clear, that's a building permit commencement. I want to see a dust permit sign out there for a year and a half. It is a building permit commencement.
That's correct.
I
so
could,
the
I
full
could,
permit
I could support that.
For actual structures.
I could support that.
Would it be better to have a condition to pull a building permit within a year versus commitment or commencement, or is that synonymous, you think?
There's a hundred, frankly, that's the 180-day rule, right?
Yeah.
If we get them to as a condition to commence by January 1, worst case scenario, it's June. But at least there is a constraint.
Yeah, I think you guys can make that recommendation. It certainly gets your intent
mm-hmm.
through
Perfect.
To the next board,
okay.
You know, of what the struggle is with this, and that will be shared with that board of, you know, exactly what the challenges were, but that kind of locks in a get a move on it and a get a complete on it at some point.
Go ahead.
Take a shot.
Go ahead.
All right. Mr. Chair, on item ET26-400002, I move for approval with a condition of approval, on the first bullet of comprehensive planning, to change that language to commencement of January, I don't have that date, January 4th, 2027.
January 3rd.
January 3rd, 2027. For staff recommendations.
If approved recommendations?
If approved recommendations, thank you.
Okay, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you all, have a nice night.
Item number four is WS260003, waivers of development standards of the following: one, increased parking; two, reduced departure distance; design review for the proposed vehicle maintenance facility on 0.97 acres in CD general commercial zone within the airport environment AE60 overlay, generally located south of Silverado Ranch Boulevard and east of Olin Drive within Enterprise, for possible action. Good evening. Closer to the mic.
Latoya Moulton.
Good.
Christian Brothers Automotive. And we have our civil engineer.
Ziad Akoucha with CNCO. Last name K double A K O U C H.
Okay. We're submitting a request for a new vehicle maintenance and repair facility. This is the proposed location on West Silverado Ranch Boulevard near Decatur. These are the existing conditions right now. And here I want to take a moment to give you guys a little bit of background information on Christian Brothers Automotive. We have been in operation for over 30 years since 1982, for over 43 years since 1982. We're in over 30 states, and we have never closed a location. We have over 330 locations. Each location is operated, meaning that the owner, the franchisee, will be in the shop for the day-to-day, ensuring that the service and maintenance of the facility is ran well. Owners are encouraged to serve and give back to their community, and which is big for our corporation. Our hours of operation are 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday. We are closed on the weekends. Typically have 10 to 11 employees and the franchisee. Some of the scope of right here, you can see the interior of our automotive repair facilities. We don't compare ourselves to typical facilities like Jiffy Lube. We compare ourselves to automotive dealerships. We do it after market repairs and maintenance. We are not a lube shop or a quick service. The bulk of our work includes maintenance of vehicles, post-warranty work, diagnostics, brakes, shocks, tune-ups, AC service, alignments, and we do some oil change. We do not do any body work, no painting, no tire recapping, or any huge noise generators. We do not rebuild engines or transmissions in our shops. We typically complete work the same day. However, if an owner cannot retrieve their vehicle before closing, we utilize our bays first for storage. And overnight parking is usually limited to scheduled conflicts and schedules which the owner can't come and pick up their car that same day. We do offer a free shuttle for our customers. When they drop off their vehicle, we'll take them to and from work or home or wherever they need to go. In our shops, we specialize in shop cleanliness. We utilize a Zamboni style floor cleaner to keep the shop clean and avoid runoff materials. Our automotive fluids are stored in double wall containers and recycled to avoid contaminant release. Each shop also utilizes an oil water separator as a fail safe for any materials that may get into the floor drain. Christian Brothers, we just received our sixth J.D. Power Award for aftermarket service. Our proposed locations will provide desirable employment and enlarged tax base by encouraging economic development activities. Our average ticket is mid-600s and based on numbers from 2023. And in that same year, each location, the average location generated about $2.9 million in revenue. Here we have our site plan.
Trying to zoom in on it.
And we can answer any questions. I have a couple more slides I want to go to, and then I'll have our civil answer questions about the site plan or anything you guys have. Here's a proposed landscaping plan. Here's the exterior of our building. And one of the comments that we saw in the report was design review regarding adverse impacts or effects regarding our bay doors. And so some of the things that I want to talk about is traffic concerns. We are not really a large generator of traffic. We're a destination-based business, meaning, you know, our customers, they don't just impulse drive by, they know where they're going. And in average, our stores see 18 to 20 cars a day, and on peak days, our business can see 30 cars per day, and we have trip generation. Regarding noise concerns, the building, our building is masonry, and our air compressor is located within a completely encased room to manage sound. The average noise levels are 50 to 55 dBA at 100 feet away. And for reference, that's comparable to the sound of an air conditioner at the same distance. And we did some research on the USDOT Bureau of Transportation statistics, and the average road noise generated from West Silverado Ranch Boulevard and South Decatur Boulevard ranges between 55 to 55.9 dBA. And that's louder than the noises that we would have in our shop at that same distance. And we have several locations existing that are next to residential, early childhood, and schools. And so here are some examples of Christian Brothers right here, adjacent to residential across the street. Another location right here next to childcare, residential, and this is just a few examples that I have. We have many more, but we've never received any complaints from our neighbors regarding noise or traffic or any of those things. So we have another Christian Brothers right here next to single family residential. Another location next to single family residential. this location next to childcare and single-family residential. And here we have our elevations. Prototype. Elevation, and this is the floor plan right here. And I'll go back to the site plan slide.
Here to answer any questions that you guys have. Thank you for your time.
I'll have a bigger side. Any additional comments at this point?
No.
Okay. I'll open item number 4 up for public comment. Any public comments on item number 4? Hearing none, seeing none, I'll close the public comment. As I understand this project, the waiver development standards, it appears that the staff is okay with the parking and the reduced departure distance. And then they add their however statement, which we see a lot in that. And their primary thing is the roll-up doors facing the road in there. So, and based upon that, they're saying no to the whole project. Yeah. Board members, what do you think?
I mean, the code is intended not have roll-up doors from a repair facility facing the public right-of-way, which I don't see that you've reacted to. You provided a bunch of examples of being in approximation that residential, only one of them appeared to be a similar condition to what you're proposing here. But I don't think you're addressing their concern that the code specifically doesn't want roll-up doors facing a public right-of-way. You're just talking about being a good neighbor around other areas, but it would be helpful if you actually address that part,
yeah.
Why you think it's beneficial or why you think it's not detrimental. I'm looking at the building elevations. I'm not sure that the alternative of flipping the building on the site and having the roll-up doors face away from the public right-of-way and putting the brick monolithic building mass on the public right-of-way is a better alternative myself. So,
I think the other consideration is Olam is going to be primarily a commercial access. Because the rest of that area in there has current plans for major warehouse construction. You've seen the first two examples immediately to your east, and the folks who own that want to build out that entire area behind it. I don't know how many acres they've got, I forget anymore, but it's a very large project. And Olam will be one of the primary streets for access to get into it.
That's a correct statement.
Let me finish one thing.
Oh, sorry.
And in that area, I don't think your argument in terms of residential is really carries much water, because the probability of that area getting residential is extremely low, if not zero. You know, you've got a noise abatement from the airport. You've already got commercial development in the area. You've got a tavern and a C-store on the corner, so you know that's Fort Morristown. You got the National Guard Armory further out there. That area is going to be some type of warehousing or commercial. So
yeah, the use doesn't, in general, doesn't bother me. And while I appreciate that you guys are good neighbors, you won't necessarily always be in that building. It could become another, somebody could always buy that building from you and have another repair facility there. That's as much the concern of having the roll-up doors as facing the public right-of-way as anything else, is that the building's unlikely to get torn down later after it gets developed, but the tenants tend to change.
We've been open for over 43 years and never closed the location. We have all of our same building.
It happens.
Yeah. What is the landscaping look like in front of this, along Olam? What kind of trees?
Honestly, I'm a civil engineer. Let's just make that clear. Okay. So, you know, here they say desert shrub oak height, that's 12 feet, and then the Mexican ebony height, that's 40 feet, canopy of 368 square feet. And then the blue Palo Verde, with a height of 40 feet.
But those,
so,
I'm sure those stakes that he's mentioning are the...
At maturity,
not
that's
the...
Correct.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That is correct.
Yeah.
What is, I got a question that I couldn't see it in the staff report, maybe I just missed it, is that the reason for the roll-up doors, is that just the sound mitigation? Is that the issue, or what is that?
The orientation of the door, what you're asking about, the orientation of the door towards the right-of-way?
Yep.
What's the purpose of our code
yeah.
being as such? Well, the idea was to not see the activity from the public right away because of the intensity of the use. Obviously, the idea was to, if possible, orient it away from the right away on the other side of the building. But given the fact that the lot layout and the design of the building, the only feasible way for them to be able to have this based on the west side of the building.
Yeah. So the thought is, if it's, you know, is what you take into consideration, that the surrounding area doesn't seem like it would really be affected, but I don't know if that's really the reason you go against or for it. It was surprising to see that written up, at least in my opinion, that's why they denied it. Based on the area?
Yeah, I think even along like arterials and stuff, you know, I mean, the idea of like bays being open and steam work, and even if this isn't the way their business is run, you're hitting on the right thing. It's that any future businesses or similar businesses that come in along this stretch, and I'll say there is a precedent for it. So I think in general, the way Romeo described it is just, yeah, the unsightliness of work being done facing the road.
So I would say that it's really rare to see something like this where it's not in the county, where it's not like there's a location along Tropicana west of or east of Maryland Parkway where they've got roll-up doors facing out towards Tropicana. That's an older development. That's an area that I can think of that you would have that, but auto repair with the roll-up doors facing out towards the right-of-way instead of in towards the site is not as common, and specifically because it's easier to have an aesthetic building and have aesthetics around it, in my mind, is a good reason to stay with that idea. Like I said, I mean, they could flip the site and they might lose that concern in a heartbeat, it looks like to me. They had the building on the east, or the west side of it, and had the parking on the east side. It's going to be a relatively flat site, and they can do that.
We're limited with the Nevada power easement right
mm-hmm.
here. We were limited to how we could orient the building. We had a couple of different orientations, but we weren't able to.
That's fair, the transmission lines run through your site.
So flipping it?
Well, you could reduce the square footage too, so.
We started out at a bigger prototype, but this is the smallest one that we have in order to still be feasible.
In my head, I got a 10,000 square foot house.
let me answer a different question. With Ohm being future and most likely highly commercial traffic, I'll appeal to the civil engineer you introduced yourself as. What's the finished floor elevation of the actual work bays as compared to the drive elevations of Ohm? We typically are draining east. What's the elevation change? What's the flow line versus finished floor?
So the flow going from actually northeast to southwest currently. So that's why you'll see the drainage channel. If you look at the screen, you'll see that the drainage is coming from, you know, behind the building. So the building is sitting about 12 inches from the top of curb of Ilum.
Below the top of curb of Ilum?
Above.
Above.
The reason why is in case there's flooding, that way the building does not flood. My job is safety. So I had to raise it that way.
Yeah. Also think with the power line through there, that limits the kind of project you can actually go in that site.
That is correct. And
so
maybe it's not a concern.
You know, if this was facing residential, I'd say no in a heartbeat.
And I'm with you.
The fact that it's a commercial area and is going to be developed that way in the future, looks like you've got fairly decent landscaping, though some of it will be have to be shorter because of the power lines. Nevada Power is kind of picky about what's under their lines.
Yep.
So, We've had other places where the power lines have intersected, and those folks have gotten fairly decent concessions to get a project in. So I think I could vote for this one.
Appreciate that, Dave.
So. Gentlemen, any other comments? I'll make a motion on item number 4, WS260003, for approval per staff if approved conditions. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Nay.
Motion carries 3-1.
Thank you.
So noted. Brings us down to general business, which is none. Then comments by the general public. A period devoted to comments by the general public about matters relevant to the board's jurisdiction will be held. No vote may be taken on any matter not listed on the posted agenda. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Please step up to the speaker's podium and clearly state your name, address, and please spell your last name for the record. If any member of the board wishes to extend the presentation, this will be done by the chair or the board by majority vote. Are there any public comments at this time? Hearing none, seeing none, I'll close the public comments. The next regular meeting will be February 25th, 2026 at 6 p.m. Silverado Ranch Community Center. And I'll make a motion to adjourn at 6:54.
We're so disoriented.
Yeah. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Meeting's adjourned.